When my sister was in high school, and she is 5 years older than I, she loved to make a collage. She did this, I believe, every year for maybe middle school, junior high, and high school years. Pictures of my sister Susan and her friends and their different activities. And these would usually be mounted to a thin piece of plywood and shellacked. And it was a gallery of my sister and her friends and their activities from that particular year. And I think as we think about Hebrews chapter 11, I think of a collage, a gallery of heroes of the faith of the Old Covenant, heroes of faith found in the Old Testament. But it's striking at the end of this section, far beyond the verse we're looking at today, we come somewhat to the conclusion of the matter, some of the purpose of the author of the book of Hebrews in giving this gallery of faith in verse 39 and 40, where he writes, "And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us." The author of Hebrews is writing Christians who were contemplating tossing in the towel on their following of Jesus Christ, many with the desire to return back to the ways of Judaism and to the temple, to the tangible things that they could touch and feel. And he calls them to continue to persevere in their faith, to continue following and believing, of trusting and obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's this broader context of Christians who are looking at departing from the Savior that is the backdrop to this parade of those who know and love the Lord, especially from the Old Testament. And here he reminds us that these ones who live by faith, that God has indeed provided something much better for us. And if they, with God's grace and help, were able to trust and obey and live by faith, how much more can we through our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, today in our study, we come to consider Noah. And I love the title for our study today, The Faith Boat. This is not original to me. It's an ingenious title that a friend of ours has made. But I love this title. And it got me thinking this week about names of boats in history. We are very familiar, perhaps, with the Mayflower and the impact of those who came on the Mayflower to our own land. And in South Carolina, we have a growing interest in the Hunley, a submersible type boat, and the historical significance in our own area related to this boat. And I believe I'm hearing that we're celebrating the 100th year of the Titanic, a well-known boat and a boat name. I can remember I think this was the 1980s, a television show called The Love Boat. There's some interesting names of boats. A friend of mine is a pastor who lives near a lake, and he and his family have a boat, and they have named their boat Visitation. And he has told his secretary to tell people that he is out on visitation. But I think Noah, if there was a name for the ark, the proper and appropriate name would be Faith, the Faith Boat. We're given a summary of his faith and the activity that this brought about in his life from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. For a few moments, I'd like to look at four truths that emerge from this passage of Scripture. The first is that faith takes God at His word. Noah believed what God had instructed him. He based his life on what God had revealed and made known to him. And even of events that are described here to Noah as events yet unseen. In Genesis chapter 6, we learn of the pervasive effects of sin, of the corruption that came from the original sin of our first parents, and its impact on the world. We read of growing corruption and violence spreading over the face of the earth. In Genesis chapter 6 is this description: the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. We read in Genesis 6 of God's intention to bring a judgment upon this world, upon mankind, and upon the animals. The creeping things is spoken of there, and the birds of the heavens will be destroyed. And yet in the midst of this message of coming judgment, there is reference to one and to God's plan to preserve the seed of the woman and to preserve a people who might know him and love him and walk with him and serve him in his name. It speaks of Noah in the context of this speaking right after the judgment that is to come. There is this reference, yet Noah found favor, found and received God's grace in the Lord. And the Lord instructed Noah at the ripe age of 600 years to construct an ark to prepare for these events that were yet unseen. And the instructions were very specific. The materials to be used: gopher wood and pitch. The dimensions, translated in our linear dimensions, of 450 feet long, 50 feet wide, 45 feet high. It was to have three decks, three levels to it. And there was to be a door. The door was to be on the side of this ark. This was the instruction of the Lord to Noah. And Noah lived in a day in which he had never seen or experienced even rain, much less a flood. He'd never seen raindrops or never witnessed a thunderstorm, much less rushing, running water that would be that would have flood-like power and force. It was indeed events to him that were yet unseen. And yet, Noah's response to the truth of God's word, though he couldn't see what would happen with his own eyes at that time, though it was something that he had never experienced, he knew that God keeps his word. And we find that Noah responds to this instruction of the Lord with faithful obedience. Actually, this word obedient is the word that characterizes Noah as we find in the book of Genesis. There are several references to Noah's faithful obedience to what the Lord called him to. We read in Genesis 6, verse 9, "And Noah did this." And that was the beginning of the construction of the ark. Noah did this, and he did all that God commanded him. And a few verses later, with the reference to Noah bringing in the animals unto the ark and God's provision for a continuation of this world, again, it reminds us, "And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him." And then again, when he and his little family, his wife, his daughters, two daughters, three daughters, three sons and their wives, three sons and three wives, and Noah and his wife, when they were on the ark, we read, as the Lord shut the door, that Noah went into the ark as God had commanded him. And so he was a man who obeyed the Lord. We're reminded from our pulpit that we are to listen, we are to read the word of God with our ears, what we hear to be true of the word of God, and not just what we can see with our eyes. And that's what we find Noah doing. The Lord spoke to him. Noah heard. Noah took heed. Noah obeyed. And his life stands as a great challenge for us. His life asks each of us a question. You know, how do you respond to God's word? And to the truth, the revelation of God's word that you do have and that you do understand. I think the way in which we respond to the Lord's word is one of the very most defining things about us. Recently read where Mark Twain had said that it's not those passages of Scripture that I don't understand that bother me, but those passages of Scripture that I do understand, as he spoke of the reality of his own life and the need of what God requires for obedience. So this passage reminds us that, first of all, as we consider Noah's life, that he was one who took God's word seriously. He knew that God would keep his word. And then secondly, we find that Noah approaches God with a reverential fear. A fear that came from his heart of love and reverence and respect for the living and true God, the God who created the heavens and the earth and all those animals that were coming to the ark that he and his sons were involved in helping to rope, to lasso, and to get into the ark. We are reminded here, as the author of Hebrews reflects on Noah's life, that it was in reverent fear that he constructed the ark. The Scriptures remind us that we are not to live for the praise of men, that we are to obey God rather than men, that God is to be the chief or prime audience of our lives. And certainly, Noah, as he and his sons set themselves to the building of the ark, a task that took a century to do, Now, I have some home projects that may take more than a couple hours, and I can find myself struggling to get through the task if it takes a couple of hours. And this was an activity of their faith, their obedience and love for the Lord that lasted many, many years. And they received the reproach of men. They were ridiculed. It's understandable at a certain level for people who had never seen rain. And this man is building this large boat, working on it for many, many years. And it has not rained on the earth at this point in time. And there's no concept of anything like a flood. And he and they were doing it because the Lord had instructed them. He delighted in honoring and pleasing God more than satiating the changing whims of the people around him. He had a love of reverential fear for God. We live in a day in which there is at times such a casual attitude in our approach to God that there can be a great hindrance in our worship and our love and our service for Him. Certainly there is to be affection and intimacy between the Christian believer and his God, the one whom we can now call upon as Father. But at the same time, there is that deep and abiding respect, that love for the Lord that acknowledges that He is God and I am not. You know, He is the Creator and I am His creature. He is sovereign and I'm utterly dependent upon Him. I think this is part of what the author of Hebrews is saying about Noah. That in reverent fear, he set himself to constructing the ark, that it came from a heart of respect, of love, of desire to please and to serve the living and the true God. Third, we learn in this passage something of the result of his faith. We read here that by the building of the ark in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. Here for Noah, the construction of the ark, this boat that was lifted up when the rains of judgment fell upon the earth, it indeed was the literal saving of his family in the midst of the waters from the earth and from the heavens, the great flood that came upon the earth in Noah's day. Those waters of judgment lifted that ark of safety up and provided a safety and protection for Noah and for his family. And certainly, as Noah stands as a type of the great deliverer who was to come, of Jesus Christ, certainly we're reminded here, pointing us to the Lord Jesus and to His work of redemption and salvation, that He indeed is the one who provides a greater deliverance, that He is the one who is the ark in which leads to the saving of his people, of those who are in the household of the faith. What a wonderful thing it is of the love and the grace of the Lord Jesus, the effect of his work, that he is the one who has offered the once for all perfect and acceptable sacrifice, so that we can have a right standing before God. Martin Luther, the German monk who became a reformer, went through a great challenge in his own life of coming to understand the central message of the Bible, of the gospel of salvation through the work and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Martin Luther, through much struggle, came by the grace of God, as he writes, as he was reading in the book of Romans, he wrote, "At last, meditating day and night, by the mercy of God, I began to understand that the righteousness of God is that through which the righteous live by a gift of God, namely, faith. Here I felt as if I were entirely born again and had entered paradise itself through the gates that had been flung open. The glory of the work of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ is that we are saved through the work of Christ, and God uses the means of faith. It isn't faith, our faith, that saves us. It is the person and the work of Jesus himself. But faith is that means, that instrument that's used in our coming to know the Lord Jesus, of our being united to him and being receive the benefits of all of his wonderful and his glorious work in such a way that leads to the saving of his own household, those who know the Lord Jesus and are trusting in him. So we're reminded here of the way in which for Noah, his faith resulted in the salvation of his household and of the work of the Lord Jesus and the salvation that he provides for his people. Fourthly, I'd like to mention we learn of the reward of faith. It is striking the language used to describe Noah at the end of verse 7. "By this he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness that comes by faith." He lived in a day in which many were ridiculing him, holding to an unbelieving attitude towards God. And the description here is that those who refused the grace of God, who didn't base their lives on the truth of the Lord, they're the ones described here as being condemned. However, Noah and his family, those who lived by faith, those who trusted, who followed the Lord, those who received his word, are described as those who are vindicated. They're acknowledged as the one who are righteous. Noah is an example for us here of the great reward that comes to those who live by faith, who know the living and true God, and that is righteousness. And the wonder and the glory of the work of Christ is that those who come to him, as unclean and filthy as we are, we are given a new standing before God. We are the ones, as we come to Jesus, who receive a greater reward. And that is the righteousness of Christ. To be for the rags of this world and all of our spiritual efforts that result becoming as filthy rags, being replaced with the righteous attire of our Lord Jesus. And the way in which Christ is at work by his Spirit, not only are we righteous in our standing before God, he's at work changing us that we might become more like him, that we might be sharers with him more and more in our character, that we might grow in becoming more and more like him. Here, there's a blessed promise that's held out to us in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that there is a righteousness that comes from God, that is through faith. The author of Hebrews in the previous chapter puts it this way. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Our Lord Jesus will return in great power and in glorious triumph. And he will come to finish the work that he has begun in his people, to take his people that we might be with him and that we might be changed, that we might be fully, completely redeemed and perfectly sanctified, that we might be with him and know him and be with his people forever. There's a great destiny that results from a life of faith, of knowing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here it's described for us here as righteousness, a righteousness that comes by faith. On that day of our Lord Jesus' return, it will be a day of great glory, of marvelous grace, of those who know him, of being with him and being translated, becoming more and more as he is. But for those who don't know him, it will be a day of judgment. And not a day of judgment with raindrop or water, but a day of judgment described in the Bible as a judgment with fire. And so this passage calls upon us to know of the glorious hope that's found in Christ. And it calls upon us, if we don't know Christ's mercy and love, to cry out to him, that we might look to Jesus Christ and by faith trust and believe in him, to embrace him and know of the blessed promise of being righteous in his sight. So may God give us grace that, like Noah, we might be people who take God's word seriously, and that we might be those who continue to have a faith that is an active faith, a faith that's working in love, a faith that leads to a life of service for our God, just as Noah picked up his hammer and got busy to the work to which God called him. May God give us grace that we who know him may love him and be faithful to the things to which he's called us. Let's pray together. Our gracious Lord and loving Heavenly Father, we praise your glorious name. We're mindful of the great things that you have done in and through Jesus Christ for us, that by your mercy and love, as we have come to know Jesus, we have been marvelously forgiven. And a day is coming in which we will be gloriously changed. How we long for that. How we know that our love and service for you is falls short and is imperfect. We thank you for the certainty of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the example of Noah. We pray that we who have received even a greater promise, that we might be faithful, that we would receive your word, that we would base our lives upon its truth. For your sake and glory we pray. Amen.